Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now, here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Everyone, and welcome to Online Success Journey. This is episode 107. Are you ready to join the clan? Today we have Dustin Matthews, coach and the founder of Speaking Empire, also the author of many best-selling books. His latest book is The No BS Guide to Powerful Presentations and How to Sell Anything with Webinars, Online Media, Speeches, and Seminars. His mission is advance the human race by empowering leaders to communicate powerful, unlock their full potential, and ultimately step into their greatness. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, Patience. I'm really excited. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, thanks for coming. I know the clan is anxious to hear your story, so let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan a little bit about your background, about what you did before you started your own online business? Take us right up to the last job or business before you are online.
Yeah, absolutely. This is actually, I feel it's a favorite story. It's one I like to tell. So I was in school, I was at university, and a former girlfriend, or an ex-girlfriend, I guess you would say, handed me this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Have you read that one, Patience?
Yes, I have it, but let's hear your story.
Yeah, it's a good book. And so I got excited. I thought real estate was going to be my thing, because it's a book about real estate, but even more so, it's a book on entrepreneurship and starting businesses. And so I thought I was going to be the next real estate millionaire. So I went down to an investor club, a seminar basically, where people were trading deals. They were buying and selling homes. And so I went in there. I was very nervous. No one really wanted to talk to me. So I left the room and went to where all the tables were set up. And those were vendor tables. These were people with something to sell. And so naturally, those folks wanted to talk to me because they wanted to sell me something. And so while I was talking to each of the folks trying to figure out, you know, how I was going to do my thing, I met my future partner, Dave Van Hoos. He had just started a company called Foreclosures Daily. And I said, hey, listen, I'll come work for free if you teach me how to buy a house. And so it was perfect timing because Dave had just done a startup company. He had just started his online business, and it was basically taking discounted foreclosure real estate properties and putting them online. And so what happened was, Patience, while I was there, I found out that real estate wasn't my passion. It was marketing. And I figured out if you could put words on paper or say words in a microphone like we're doing now, or even speak on a stage, which I do a lot of, or a webinar online, you can get people to take action. You can get people to buy programs. You can make money. And so I said, whoa, I really wish I had learned this stuff in school, because I was a techie nerdy guy. And so I became fascinated. I became hooked. And so what happened was I started working at this company, which we grew it to the Inc. 500. And it was all around this website where we could monetize online. But we really didn't start making money until we started speaking and doing live events, which I'll know we'll talk about a little bit later. And so that's how I got started in this world. And eventually, because you asked me, Patience, eventually what I did was I left. And I said, you know what? It's hard to be an employee. I got to go out and do this for myself. And so that was the last job that I had. And then I started a few businesses since then.
Wow. Why do you do what you do, Dustin?
Well, now, so I run a company now called Speaking Empire. And it really goes back, I think a lot of stuff, Patience, in our life goes back to early childhood or struggles or obstacles or challenges we had. And so I was deathly afraid to get up in front of people and speak. I prefer to be behind the spotlight most of the time. I force myself to be in front because of it can grow your business. It's very powerful. And also, too, I know that when I share my story with others, it helps them and empowers them. And so I keep that in mind. And so the reason why I do what I do now is I was initially afraid to speak. I was forced to do it. And when I did it, my whole world changed. You know, I thought people wouldn't take me seriously, but they did. I didn't think I could make money doing it, but I could. And then so I started doing it. And so my whole passion for what I do today is to show people, listen, you don't have to get up on a stage and publicly speak, but do webinars, do podcasts, do videos, do Facebook Live, speak, do something and share your message, because I was so afraid to do it. And I think I lost out in life because I wasn't bold enough. You know, I was afraid of it. And so my hope is to inspire people to get out there and share their message. And so that's why I do what I do.
Who forced you to do it? And how did you get over the fears of getting in front of people and speaking?
Oh, that's a great question. So this is good. So when I was at that little investor club and I met my current partner now, Dave, he was my boss. So I was his little intern and I would run around with him. And one day I remember, he calls me. I'm at the house. I'm taking a shower. I answer the phone, not in the shower, but I answer the phone like before I get into the shower. And Dave says, "Hey, listen, we're doing a presentation tonight." Obviously, I knew that. And he said, "I need you to speak." And I said, "Why?" he said, "I'm closing on my home, my condo. Like I have to do it. I won't be there and I need to be somewhere else." And so I tell Dave the story that when I was at university, I had to take a public speaking class, but I was so afraid to take it that I worked really hard, patience, and I found a loophole. I found a loophole that if I had taken a class in high school, that if I could get the teacher to write a note, I could get out of having to take public speaking. So that's exactly what I did. So I told Dave the 17 reasons why I'm not the guy to do it. And so Dave said to me, "Listen, if you want to continually learn and if you want to continue to work here, you have to cover. There's no one else." And so my backup was up against the wall. And my biggest fear, patience, at the time was like, I have a baby face. Like I still have it. But imagine 10 years ago, I must have looked like I was, 12. Aww. And so, yeah. And this is a good thing as you get older in life. But, at the time I was like, no one is going to listen to me because there were people in the audience that were almost triple my age. So I had all this mind chatter running, right? They're not going to take me seriously. I'm going to goof up. I'm going to forget everything. But you know what happened? I got up there. I did the presentation and I knocked it out of the park. And the thing was, is people did take me seriously. And what I determined in that moment is if you have a story, if you have specialized knowledge, like making money online or losing weight or growing a business, people, there's a market for it. And the people that are interested, they don't care your race. They don't care your gender. They just want the information because at the end of the day, everybody wants what's in it for me. So if you can show me a system, a process for being better in life, no matter what, people want to know it. And they don't care about that because they want to change their life. And so that's why I do what I do. And that's how I got to doing that, was Dave forced me to do it.
Wow. Thanks to Dave. Now you are international speaker. That's great. Okay. You have been in the business for a while now. Let's put money aside. How did you know you were successful in your own business?
Growth. That's the real answer. Like I usually, I don't want to overthink. So I usually just go with the first thing that comes to my mind, the gut. And so growth. Like I know that I'm winning in business. Obviously money is a metric and we're going to put that aside. But here's what I knew. I know that like when I got up and spoke more, it became easier. I know that when I shared my story, people were coming to me. And so I saw actions happen, like more people were coming to my business. Then I saw the team grow, meaning I hired people. Then I had to grow again because I had to understand, okay, it's not just about me making money online. It's how do I motivate the team to make the money online so we all win together. And so growth is the biggest thing that shows me that I'm winning, is I'm personally growing and I'm helping other people grow.
Can anyone be an entrepreneur? Or are some people more cut out for it than others?
My belief, I think some people are more cut out than others. And so, if you take a look at it, and you can look at it in society, you can look at it. So, if you look at Steve Jobs, he had Wozniak, right? If you look at Microsoft, Bill Gates has his right-hand man or had his right-hand person, right? If you look at Google, you've got two leaders there. And so some of the most successful, at least startup companies, have two leaders. And the reason why I believe that is because it's hard to be good in all areas. It's hard to be, have all the skills of entrepreneur. Now, some people can do it. They can get away with it. They have it in their DNA. But I think for most people, myself included, like I know I'm weak in certain areas. So I surround myself with other people. And so I think that, having self-awareness is important. I think that knowing what your strengths and skills are, and it's okay to be the number two. It's okay to be number three at an organization. You can still be an owner. You can still win big. And so my true belief is that you can learn it, but I think it comes easier to some people than others.
What reassurance or encouragement you have for my members of Clan who are not quite there yet?
Well, you know, the big thing is this, is like, I know in my like DNA, I want to be perfect. Like, meaning like before I launch something or speak on a stage, like I like agonize. I think about it over and over and over again, because I want to share a good, powerful message with the world. I also know that's my biggest weakness. Like, it limits me. And so the biggest thing I share with folks is you got to take action. And I'm not saying be sloppy, but I'm saying, you know, take the action so that you can learn. And most people aren't getting off. They're reading books, they're buying courses, and this is good. This is powerful. You should do that. But I don't see enough people taking action and trying and testing and having the market tell you what's right and what's wrong and if you're winning or not. And so the biggest thing I can share is just take one small action a day.
Do you have mentors through all your businesses? Do you have a mentor or a coach yourself?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love playing tennis. So I'm a big tennis guy. So I have a coach that coaches me in tennis. I have a business coach. I have a legal coach, ironically, just because, you know, our level of business is getting to that where it requires making sure everything's right. And so, gosh, I didn't grow up a lawyer, and I don't understand that stuff. So I have coaches in my life. I have people that are mentors. I think of one in particular, Michael, who's mentoring us to really build a system and a business, not just make money online for us, but like, how do you sustain it? How do you build a really cool enterprise that people are excited to be a part of that can grow and grow the business? And so the answer is yes, absolutely.
What is the most valuable thing your mentor has told you?
You know what? I'm gonna tell you about my spiritual mentor. I would maybe call them a coach instead of mentor, because it means a little bit something different to me. So I would say, you know, it's real easy for me to come on here and talk tactics, like get up and speak, or, you know, design your opt-in page this way, or, you know, drive traffic this way. But here's the big thing, patience, that I'm learning in my life at this time, which is perfect. It's the ego. So a lot of times when I was younger, and even now to this day, it's something I have to keep in check. And so if you only focus on your ego, it can take you in good places, and it can take you in bad places. So you always have to keep in mind, like, am I doing something that really serves me, that's going to benefit my clients, that's going to help me and my family? And so I know that I've chased things because I'm like, oh, well, I'll become popular, or, oh, this will make a difference, when in fact it didn't. And so I think the biggest lesson that I want to share with others is to, you know, take inventory of yourself first. And I know, like, some people are like, gosh, this is kind of like soft topic sort of stuff. And I think it is because, like, you're so fast, you want to execute, implement. But if you'll just take time to inventory and slow down and decide the path that you want to go, I think it can be very powerful for a lot of people.
What is one thing that has contributed to your success?
Just one thing, patience?
I know you have a thousand, but what is your best?
You know, stepping out of the comfort zone, by far. So early on, I recognized when I was getting started, like, it really sucked stepping out of the comfort zone. I was nervous, but that's where I recognized that I could grow. Meaning, like, I think back to when I was started to speak and do webinars and stuff, like, it was completely outside my comfort zone. But once I did it, like, things would happen. People would come up, people would say, hey, tell me more. I would get clients, I would make money. I said, oh, this is interesting. So, like, even though it's painful for me at the time to be out of my comfort zone, that's something that I have to do. And so what I would say is always look for those opportunities to learn, to grow, if I had to boil it down to one thing. And oftentimes those things are outside of your comfort zone.
What is one thing no one knows about you?
Oh, that's tough. No one. I'll give you a couple. So I just had a newborn. His name is Four, 7 weeks old. Maybe some people know because they saw.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I have a son, Dexter. So I'm really pumped and excited about that. I would say this. Most people don't know that I was actually born in Japan, in Okinawa, Japan. And I was born on a military base there. And so in the United States, if I wanted to run for president, I could still do that because that's considered U.S. soil. And I lived in Japan for 2 years, and I'm a quarter Japanese, and I love sushi. So I think in all of that, I don't know if every one single person knows it except for my wife.
Thank you for sharing. Okay. What keeps you grounded?
You know, I really got to say in this moment is my spiritual coach, family for sure. But, you know, sometimes I went on a walk last night with Missy and the fam. The boys fell asleep in the carrier. And so, you know, what I've recognized is my wife is special. Her name is Missy. And I usually don't talk about her, and you won't find her on Facebook. And so, you know, I'm sharing a little bit of the goods. And so Missy will tell me something 3 years before I finally get it. And it's like I have to learn my own life lessons because we're so close, you know. And so She keeps me grounded when I come around to it. The other thing that keeps me grounded is really my spiritual coach. And I'm working on that because like me, I'm an entrepreneur. I want to go, go, go. Like I became a success by just running, running, running. But I'm starting to get later in life and I realize it's not all about that. It's like, you know, moving with intention. It's about being more strategic. It's about being in alignment with what I'm supposed to learn in this lifetime. And so I would say that really grounds me. It's not a message that comes easily to me, but I'm working at it.
What is your most valuable thing you have ever given away?
My time. Yeah, my time for sure. It's everyone's most valuable thing is your time. So, you know, for me, obviously people pay me for my time, but I make investments in people. You know, people made investments in me, like giving me their time, mentoring me, coaching me, showing me the way. So I think the most valuable thing I can give to people is my time. And throughout the year, almost every day or almost, I should say almost every week, that's more accurate. Almost every week, I'm figuring out how can I build value for somebody and not expect any money in return. And so by far, my time is the most valuable because it's so finite.
Let's talk about your book, No BS Presentation book. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the plug there. I appreciate it. So I've been on this path for the last like 13 years of my life doing speaking. And, you know, real quick, speaking and presentations, it doesn't mean you have to get up in front of a room. Like online for folks, it's doing automated webinars or it's doing, you know, Facebook Lives or Snapchat now. And so at the end of the day, it's my belief that everybody should have a powerful message that gets people into action, basically a powerful presentation. And so that may be a sales letter online for online marketers or a webinar or even a stage presentation. So basically, I took all my knowledge along with my mentor, Dan Kennedy, and we came up with a book called The No BS Guide to Powerful Presentations. And it's really about how do you put a message together that gets people into action. And so whether you sell products online, you're raising money for charity, you're a financial planner that wants to set appointments with people or a chiropractor, it's really about how do you get people into action. And so that's why we wrote the book, The No BS Guide to Powerful Presentations.
Wow. How did this book come about?
13 years ago. This is good. Like, you're bringing the questions and I love it, Patience. So this came about really when I first got started in business. So when I was working with Dave at the company Foreclosures Daily, I came across a book called The Ultimate Sales Letter by Dan Kennedy. And that rocked my world because it told me you can put words on paper that would get people to take action. So check this out. This is what I did. So when I read this book and then we were in this, I was in the startup company, I wrote on a piece of paper, I downloaded handwriting font to make it look more personalized. And I sent a letter like in the mail, in the post, I sent a letter to all the customers that had bought at this company saying, hey, look, we got these other things to buy. And I said, if you want an amazing deal, call this phone number. Now, patience in my life, I was very afraid to talk to people. I know that sounds crazy, but I was very afraid to talk to people. I was very afraid to sell. I was very afraid to, like, you know, take phone calls. And so I sent them to the salesperson. And so their phone, Tangi is her name, her phone blew up off the hook and she instantly became my new best friend because she didn't have to make cold calls. People were calling her. And so I know this is a long story to answer the question, but when I saw that, I said, wow, marketing is powerful. So that planted the seed over 13 years ago. Yeah, 2004. Over 13 years ago, that planted the seed that, you know, I want to work with Dan, like this is powerful. And so basically 2 years ago, I pitched Dan. I said, Dan, you've changed my life. And, you know, I've worked with Dan for a little bit. I've invested with him. And I said, you've changed my life. Let's do a book together. And I pitched him and he said, no.
Oh, no.
He said no, but I was very persistent and I was patient. And I said, no, let's do it. And I came up with a new angle and I said, what if we did this? And I think we can sell a lot of books if we'd say this. And so eventually he came around to it and the publisher said no. And then by fate, they said yes. And I think what had happened was a couple of their salespeople took the idea and started pitching it to booksellers. And they're like, yeah, we'd want a book like that. So then it came to fruition and we got to writing. And so now we have the book.
Wow. Where did the title come from? No BS. Who came up with that title?
that's my fellow co-author, Dan Kennedy. So he has a brand called the No BS Guide. He's written, I don't even know, over 10 books. So he'll create a book called the No BS Guide to Social Media or the No BS Guide to, you know, generating referrals for your business. So that's his brand. And he teams up with co-authors now because he writes a lot of these books. And so he writes about half of it. I contributed the other half of it. And so I got to get in with Dan to write this book under his brand and do it in a big way.
Okay, let's get into it. The marketing of the book. Can really one presentation make you rich, Dustin?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think people are like, oh, that's a big claim. Like, how's that even possible? So let's take a step back. So my belief is everything in life is a presentation. So this podcast is a presentation. Now, there's no slides, of course, right? There's no visuals on this, but there's a choreography to this. And my hope is at the end of this podcast, you'll go out and get the book. And so I've orchestrated this. There's questions, there's stories that I'm telling to get people, you know, excited. And I'm building massive value. Like, this isn't one giant sales pitch. This is like, I want to give you massive value. I want to inspire you to take action. I want to give you stories that will motivate and resonate with you. And my hope is at the end is that I deliver the goods and that you go get the book. And so when you think about that, like, everything in life is a presentation. So even making money online, when you send the email to your list or you design the Facebook ad and you send it to your page, that whole thing is one experience. And so if you think about it, the president here, whether you like him or not, Donald Trump, was able to claim the highest office in the land with presentations, right? He used the media. You may not like how he did it, but he did that. Warren Buffett, who a lot of people know, one of the world's richest men, he said the one decision that, you know, really had a big impact in his life was learning how to speak and give presentations. He did it with Dale Carnegie back in the day. And so he said, like, that really transformed his ability when he understood communications. And so there are countless examples in the book, but there's countless examples all around you. When you go to Disney World or Disneyland or a theme park, think about when you're in line, why is it slowly moving? Why are there TVs there? Why are there fans blowing on you? Because they want to create an experience, right? And then why is it that they have all these carts? So I think of it that way. And so when you bring that energy, when you think about, like, everything you do in life represents you online and offline, it's one big presentation or multiple presentations, absolutely can make you rich. And not just in the money sense, but as a person.
Okay, help us be able to get really the gritty nitty out of this book. And again, you talk about the presentation and you discuss the concept of choreography. Can you tell us more about why is this important?
Absolutely. So, you know, I really got started, Patience, in this in this world as a marketer. You know, I was behind the scenes, you know, before I got out and spoke. And so I have a good found appreciation for marketing. And so everyone wants to focus, if they're doing webinars or speaking, they want to focus on the message, which is very important. Like, you need to give a powerful presentation. You need to have a strong message. However, you can influence before you even get there. So let's take a step back. That's one of my favorite things to say. Take a step back. When you go to a play, when you go to an opera, when you go see, you know, the Blumen Group, if you go see them, they practice hours upon hours upon hours. And not just the performers, the lighting technicians, the sound people, you know, the managers, right? They practice to create an amazing experience for us. They choreograph the whole thing to get consistent results. And so if you don't want to have consistent results in life, that's okay. You can kind of just get up there and wing it. But if you desire to have something consistent, you want to choreograph things and you want to be thinking about what can I do to enhance the experience before and after. So as an example, before I get up on stage or before I get on a podcast, I have someone introduce me, right? Like, that's pretty simple and straightforward, because the most prominent people, royalty, rock bands, the president, people in the government, they're always introduced. So as an influence point, even before I opened my mouth, you introduced me. And you introduced me in a way that gave me credibility and got people excited. And so that's just one little example of what you can do to influence even before you start your message.
Okay. Let's get into the book. And tell us about chapter 6, Resist Offer.
Yes, absolutely. It's one of my favorite things to talk about, and I hope it will be yours too. So it's called Irresistible Offer Architecture. And so basically what I've determined is in any offer that you make, and I think you should be making an offer every time you speak. So every podcast you do, every presentation, email, you should get people into action. Now, when I say offer, Patience, I'm not just talking about selling your product or service. I'm telling people to, hey, go subscribe to a podcast. I'm telling people go opt into the list. I'm telling people to go join me on Facebook. I'm telling people to go buy stuff too. But I think that you should always make an irresistible offer to get people into action, because without action, nothing happens. You've got to take action for things to happen in life. And so what I've determined is there's 9 components to having an irresistible offer. And you can change your position in life. You can change your offer, your conversion, whatever you want to call it, by looking and just tweaking your offer. And so obviously we don't have a ton of time to go through all nine, but what I want people to think about is anytime you deliver a message or a presentation, could be a video sales letter, what do you want people to do at the end? And I want you to reverse engineer. So think of the end in mind. So my whole goal is that you get the book, right? So I want to tell you powerful stories. I want to share with you motivational things that get you into action. And that's a small ask, right? And so I think about these elements, and the two biggest ones that I want to share with you right now that we have time for is what I call overcoming objections and hot buttons. Those are the two biggest ones. So patience, are you ready? We're going to go deep dive. Mm-hmm. Okay. So number one, I want everyone to think about this. If you've been to a seminar or you've watched a webinar online or an online presentation, I want you to think about this. Someone misses your whole presentation. They miss most of your message, right? They miss the copy. They miss the first part of the video sales letter. They miss the first part of the webinar. At the end, when you're going over your offer, what you want them to do, is it worded in a way that overcomes objections? So the biggest objections oftentimes in most people's lives are time and money. So does your product or service or thing that you're selling overcome that? Because if they miss your whole presentation and all they see is the very end where it's summarized, the stack sheet or, the summary of your offer, is it worded in a way that gets people into action? And so I think about that. And so if the biggest objections are time and money, what in your offer are you including that helps overcome those objections? Now, number two is hot button. So patience, I got to ask you this. Are you more of a visual person? Do you like to listen to audios instead? Or do you actually like to do like live events? Which one would you say you lead more towards?
I think I am a visual person.
Visual person. Okay. So what a lot of people do, I'm that way too. So what a lot of people do when they create an offer is they think about themselves, like, what would I really want? And that's good because, there are a lot of visual people in the world. And so you could put videos into your program. You might put blueprints or checklists, right, into your program. But if all you did was include just visual stuff, you would forget a part of the audience. And so you want to make sure you put podcasts or audios in there. If it makes sense, put a live event, a live experience into your offer where they can meet you, or at least a phone call or Skype or Zoom so they can talk to you and see you, as part of your offer. And so I think about that. Some people have different hot buttons in life. They want to buy for certain reasons. They love to go to events. They love video. Some people just want to get on the phone with the trainer or the guru and just ask the question, hey, here's my situation. Just give me the answer. So great. Can we put that in the offer to hit on every hot button? Because I want to try to sell everybody in the audience. I want to build value for each and every one of them. So that's what I think about when I think about irresistible offers.
Okay, so where do we find this fabulous book?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for the ask there. So I made it easy. So you can go to nobspresentations.com. Again, that's nobspresentations.com. And on that site, you'll see links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But here's the important thing on that site. It's more than just a book. So the book is powerful, and I want to make sure you get access to the videos that go along with it so that it cements for my visuals out there that want to watch videos. I want to make sure that you get the bonuses that are a part of it. And so you'll see the details on that website. In addition, I give you tools and resources to implement a whole lot quicker. So it's one thing to read, but I told you nothing happens without action. And so I want you to act. And so I give you tools and resources to put together your message to make it a whole lot easier. And again, that's at nobspresentations.com.
Okay. So, Clan, there will be more from Dustin in a moment. If you are finding Dustin's journey interesting and you are ready to hear more, come and listen to the full version of the interview at onlinesuccessjourney.com. If you are on Online Success Journey already, click on part two of Dustin's journey and you'll get lots of more information to help you with your own presentation or your business online. And also, don't forget you can access all other Online Success Journey interview podcasts on the site as well. That's a wrap, Clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and Dustin.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey Clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to OnlineSuccessJourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path. So make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form. By clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of Patience and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.